send us will keep our end up, and they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dog Blues.
A very good morning as you begin your footy weekend right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. This show is brought to you by the official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues. Your host today, myself, Chris Brownie, joined by Craig Bradford and Jesse Goldsworthy. On the show this morning, we look at Blues and AFL news. Who's putting their hand up from the twos, and review the game against the Roos and preview the upcoming game against the Crows. Special guest interview today is our General Manager of Football, Brad Lloyd. We cross live to the hyphen David Rhys-Jones for the much-anticipated The Shirt Front. Provide information on WA Blues events and anything else in footy we can squeeze into the hour. But first, Craig, as always, we couldn't do this show without our sponsors.
Yeah, no, look, we definitely can't. We'd like to thank WA Blues major sponsor Hyundai WA, platinum sponsors Allmark and Associates, Master Picture Framers in Cannington, Tech Tiger, Barbara Butchers, and our good mate Alton from Carlton at ICU Finance Group.
Thank you very much, Craig. As you, Jesse's here, as you might notice.
Morning.
We're one short.
Very quiet.
Yeah, very
morning,
quiet.
Yeah, we got Mel's away sick with a spicy cough. Hope you're getting, you're feeling a bit better, Mel, and hopefully get well.
Yes,
and
get well.
Also,
get
your well, daughter, Mel. Maddie, that's got it as well. And Sam, let's hope you don't get it. So anyway, guys, we're up and about. We've had a pretty easy win last week, and we've got the Crows tomorrow.
Looks a good weekend.
Let's
hopefully.
Hope so. Let's hope so.
Fingers crossed.
Yes. Anyway, well, on that note, Craig, let's go into Blues news.
Yeah, first of all, which we'll probably touch on this a bit later with Jesse, but a very impressive debut from young Jack Carroll.
He was impressive.
Very impressive. Out of last weekend's game, we had defenders Liam Stocker and Lewis Young both being charged by the match review panel. Stocker with rough conduct in the third quarter, graded careless, medium impact, 1 week. Then Lewis Young charged with the front on contract during the last quarter.
Contract or contact?
Contact.
Thank you.
Oh, might, should get a contract out in the umpire. But anyway, during the last quarter, graded careless and high impact with the contact to the body, 1 week.
I don't know about you, boys.
Fruitless.
I love that.
That was a waste of a port because it's... Took to the appeal, Carlton won. In the end of the day, we'll
that MRO officer. Oh my God!
Oh, I don't understand how they can come up with decisions like that.
But he actually hit him in the shoulder.
Yeah, I know.
Which is not.
Cripps would be getting rubbed out most weeks if that was the case.
Anyway, it was good. Justice.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. He played a good game too, Lewis Young.
He did. Very good. Just mentioning Cripper, again, he got 10 out of 10 for the Coach's Award. Look, it's... And he's probably got that 5 out of the 7 games that he's played, so... It's awesome for him. He's having an awesome
probably
year.
Leading the Brownlow too, you'd really say.
You would think so, yes. Also, great news during the week too, with Carlton being ranked the number one club when it comes to home team attendance by supporters, with an average of around about 53,000 people.
That's awesome. Yeah. So that is fantastic to see them
big,
all get out there.
So that's a big turnaround, and it's good to see the fans getting behind the club. Injury date update: Liam Stocker done his AC joint in the third quarter. Has undergone scans and will miss roughly 2 weeks.
Is that what it says? We're not sure.
I think it
was the AC joint.
No, I understand that, but I thought it was a to-be-advised type of one. But
he did say on his Instagram post that it was only a couple of weeks.
2 to 3 weeks.
So hopefully.
Yeah.
Fingers
crossed. Yeah, so George Hewitt with general soreness. It's also been found out during the week that he's had a blood bleed on his calf. So, hence they've rested him this week. So hopefully he can get up right for the week after. But I know with calf and blood bleeds, it's not an easy fix.
It's good we can actually rest players. Like in years gone past, we've probably pushed them through and they've played them. Where it's good we can just be a bit precaution.
You don't want to be pushing it with the bleed in your calf, though.
Especially someone like Hewitt. He's been so good for us.
Things can happen from there, so it's not good, but glad they've rested him. Mitch McGovern with his hamstring. After further consultation last week, they've decided the best thing for him is to go have surgery. So he's looking at 10 to 12 weeks. So
very disappointing.
It is.
It is. It's
You feel for him. He played such a great... Even against that game against Melbourne in the preseason as well, he had three or four games there leading up where he's looked really solid.
He was just starting to look really good too. Mm. So hopefully he can get through it and come out the other end and put
Will we see him this year?
Probably not, I wouldn't think.
I will ask that question to our special guest
later. Yeah, Luke Parks with his foot will be reassessed in roughly around about 3 weeks as to when he can play.
So there's another one. Comes in the team, young guy, give him a few games, injury, bang, he's out for four or five weeks.
I mean, and unfortunately, it's just the injuries that...
Yep.
That's, yeah. Ed Curnow with his calf, they're expecting that he'll play some sort of football after the mid-season bye. So... Yep.
That's probably in the VFL.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Oh, yeah, he's missed too much footy. Yeah. Josh Honey with his knee, he experienced some tightness during his fitness test last week. He'll be given a couple of more weeks of conditioning and with the view that he'll hopefully come back in the VFL shortly. So,
was he meant to play VFL last weekend?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. They done a fitness test last week. Yeah. He experienced some tightness.
Such a shame. He looked good as well towards the back end of last year.
Yeah, just a bit unfortunate because he's got that little bit of X factor too. So, but anyway, hopefully he gets back shortly as well. David Cunningham, he's still going through a heavy skills program, so he'll be to be advised. The great news.
Oh, yes.
Long awaited. Caleb Marchbank will play some limited time in the VFL this week.
Fingers crossed.
So... hopefully we can get him fit and up and about because I reckon he can just add a little bit more depth to that back line.
I think he's a very important part of our list of that defence.
Yeah, well, Leon Cameron said he was the only one player that he didn't want to lose from the Giants, so that says a lot. So Oscar McDonald with his back, again, no update. They've got him listed as to be advised.
Does that disappoint you guys?
Yes.
Club does? Okay, yeah.
It does.
I think it disappoints many supporters. Just tell us.
Yeah, yeah.
How long is he going to be? You know, to be advised.
Well, it had gone from a couple of weeks that he was struggling to get to 100% that he'd be a couple of weeks. Now it's to be advised.
There's a lot of TBAs, isn't there?
There is. That's what annoys me.
Yeah.
What the hell is it?
Yeah. To be advised. Yeah. They'll advise us when he's going to play.
But hang on. On that note, sorry to jump in, but Marchie was full block of training, da-da-da-da-da, and next minute you hear he's playing.
Playing. Well, last week there was no indication at all that he was going to play after the bye. They've kept it
pretty close to
probably waiting to see how he pulls through. But, look, I can't wait to see him back. He's a great player, and as I said, he adds depth to that back line. So Mark Pinnanet with his knee, he's currently in rehab, still around that 2 to 3 month period. Zach Williams passed with his Achilles, so he was named in this week's team as well. The squad name for the against the Crows on Sunday, we only have one out at the moment, which is Leon Stocker.
We have one out, one in. Williams in, Stocker out.
Yeah, but they've got an extended bench
as
well.
No, they don't.
When did they change that?
Last night, mate. 5 o'clock.
Oh, see, I didn't check.
Williams in, Stocker out. That's it.
Okay.
Cottrell Medisa?
Out. Emergency.
Is he? I thought he was named as medical sub.
Emergency.
Oh, okay, because I didn't...
You've got those emergencies. Boyd, Motlop, Cottrell, and the country.
Boyd.
And Dow.
They're the emergencies.
I knew the Williams was the one in, but they've named that extended bench.
That was Thursday night, and then they got until 5 o'clock WA time.
Oh, okay. I didn't think they would get that until Sunday.
No.
Geez, you're a smart man. Hey, regardless of what your wife says about you, you are a smart man.
It's just the AFL rules. You must name that team.
And look, one of the... A great moment out of last week's game with North Melbourne, I thought, was when Doc went down and embraced with Cunnington.
Yeah.
Both going through the same issues.
I'm so glad that you actually read that book during the summer and you could pronounce that properly.
What part's that?
Cunnington. Keep going.
You're a funny man. That's basically about it for the Blues news.
No. You've got one big news.
I was going to do that in the... I was going to do it in the AFL news.
Okay, we'll do the AFL news. Okay, we'll wait for it. So that's it?
Yeah.
Anything else? Blues news?
Well, I can't think of any Blues News.
I'll do it. It is Blues News. Okay, we'll do it the Blues News. Okay, last night, our great champion Eddie Betts was awarded the Madden Medal, which is given to retiring players, which demonstrated on-field excellence, personal development and growth, and as well as a community spirit over the course of their playing career. So,
well done, Eddie. Well,
I don't think there's a better person to win it than Eddie Betts.
So tell me, Craig, who were the nominees for that award?
Well, you're going to tell me.
I don't even know.
I know Mark Murphy was there. I could name the Carlton players that were there.
Can you tell me what's the award about?
What?
What's the award for?
I just told you.
The Madden Award. For what?
Retiring players.
No, but what does it do? Just because someone's retiring, they're not going to get an award. What do they have to do?
Well, here we go.
What do they have to do?
You tell me.
Best demonstrated on-field excellence, personal development and growth. Did you say that?
Yes.
Okay, I'll take it back then. So who was the nominees?
I wouldn't have a clue.
Eddie Betts, Mark Murphy, and that's all I worry about.
Nathan Jones, Jared Harbrow and Easton Wood and Grant Birchall. Well done, Eddie.
Yeah, well done, Eddie. As I said, Eddie Betts and Mark Murphy are the two main ones. That's it. They're Carlton.
Well done, Eddie.
Well done, Eddie.
All right, let's go on to AFL news.
Well, the TV rights agreement is starting to heat up at the moment between Channel 10 throwing their hat in the ring for the partnership with Paramount Plus. To be honest with you, it's a really interesting phase. I don't know what it will look like if it does go to a streaming platform. I'm not a massive fan of the streaming platform. Look, if it's on Channel 10 free to air still, I don't mind that. I'll don't bring back the 5-minute warning, like that sort of stuff before the game. They, Channel 10 did a really good job at promoting the game of AFL in that period. They haven't, look, to be honest, Channel 7 have cut shows, AFL shows off there.
They're not happy with about that.
No, and the AFL aren't happy, and so they should be, like, they should be disappointed. They should be, Channel 7 should be promoting AFL at all cost.
So would the, if, like, I know they're negotiating the TV rights now, but it's not for another 2 years.
2 years' time,
So let's say Channel 10 and Paramount got it. Would it be similar to, for say, Channel 7 and Foxtel and Kayo?
You would assume so.
I think so.
Just the streaming thing. If you've watched streaming, it buffers a lot, loading issues, all that sort of stuff. So they really need to clean that up. Otherwise, the people watching the football, which the spectators aren't going to be
happy. It would be a massive blow to Foxtel.
It would be huge. It'd be a massive blow to me. I love watching it on Foxtel.
Yeah, so I'd have to cut my Foxtel account if
you would.
You'd have to cut your Foxtel account.
That's the only reason why I've got Foxtel.
Look, and yeah, like we said, Channel 7 especially, they're not happy, especially after they dropped the shows. I think it was Talking Footy Footy Classified.
No, that's Channel 9.
But and in other news, look, Dustin Martin returns to footy again after being away for personal reasons. Doesn't really matter to us.
Yep. This is a good one.
This is a good one. West Coast down to 22 players, or 21 actually, I think now, because they
West COVID.
Yeah, West COVID. Yep. Is that the name? And did you see even Hugh Dixon got dropped for a for a top up player? So things aren't going well there. And then to add to that, the debacle yesterday that broke with Adam Simpson, filthy with his players. I think Rotham. Nelson. So two players.
Club, eh?
And that's what's letting the we don't really want to talk about it, but that's what's letting them down is you got young players that aren't showing enough heart, don't really care, and going out doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
But and in AFL, other new AFL news, Scotty Burns and Michael Voss are going to face off when Scotty Burns takes the Raiders for the Crows this weekend. And not sure if people remember, but in the grand finals, Burns and Voss came head-to-head at one stage. Yeah, so that'll be interesting.
I'll back Vossie. Steamrolling.
I'll back Vossie. And Matthew Knights will take the reins for the Eagles. And in AFLW news, Daisy Pearce has announced she will continue to play next season, which I'm probably caught by a bit of surprise, to be honest. And the trade period is on hold, obviously, because of the CBA discussions, which is very interesting.
There's not a lot of people. They're not happy.
Daniel Harford. No, they're not. I know Daniel Harford's come out.
It's pretty hard for the girls. You think about it. Like, they've got full-time jobs, and they don't know what's going on. They're talking about an August start. Well, when do I train? What do I do with my leave?
Haven't got a fixture yet or anything.
They don't have a bargaining agreement yet. That's the problem. Yeah. And so that's why you can't do any trades or do it. That's why you heard nothing. Everything's gone quiet.
Because of the contract. So until, you can't have any contracts.
Correct. So until that's locked in, you can't do a thing. So,
and is that the same with the men's as well?
Yes.
So they don't even know when the trade period for the men's will be because of the CBA?
No. I don't think that. No. This is the AFLW. They've got to do that agreement. But it's like normal, the CBA with the men's, but that's normally ironed out. But this is just... Yeah. This is, I can't believe it. They're talking about starting a season in August and they still don't know what the hell is going on.
No.
Like, they're not going to be able to start in August the way it's going.
Well, as I said, they're not full-time like the men, so it's pretty hard for them.
Yeah. And, like, the girls, they need to get back training at some stage and do their pre-season. So,
correct.
Yeah,
correct.
That's it for the news.
So get on the good stuff, Jesse.
Now, let's get on to that review of last Saturday night's game against the Roos.
Yeah, again, great turnout from the Carlton faithful. I think there was another 40,000 packed into Marvel Stadium, and it was you could hear them. Yep. You really can hear them. It's great. And it was a tight, contested first half. I always felt like we were probably still the better side in that first half, with just a few little laps of concentration where they got over the back and stuff. And, look, that is what it is. But we had a much more cohesive team as well this year, this week. The way they played the system, it looked a little bit more, it looked a bit more cohesive than what it was against Fremantle. I think we didn't have much dare coming out of the back line.
That killed us. We spoke about that the week before. The game. We just sort of was stagnant. There was no run. Yeah.
And having like people like Saad, month of football, and he talked about Ramadan.
Should we
Ramadan.
Keep him on that for the next few months?
Jeez,
I think we should.
Playing,
definitely.
We should. He is going so well. And I think he's probably his biggest knocks what he gets criticised for is his one-on-one capacity.
He actually won a few one-on-ones.
He's really, really strong in that area. So great for him to do that. And it's the first time we've actually won a third quarter this season. And we didn't just... We won it comprehensively in the end. We really piled on. I think... Is that our fourth or fifth seven-goal quarter this year?
Yeah, it's about that.
Look, we're piling on goals, which is really good. And obviously, finally putting it together, 50-point win on the board provides a lot of confidence for the boys, and it should provide a lot of confidence coming into tomorrow's game that, look, if we get on a roll, we can put...
Yeah.
We can start now seeing where we can put our teams to the sword, and obviously our percentage hasn't been fantastic this year, so it'll be good to...
Big Tommy DeConning played well?
He did. Yes. He did, and, like, look, we got beaten in hit-outs, but we won clearances. I don't think we won stoppage clearances, but we won centre clearances, so he was strong in the middle.
Jack Carroll.
His debut was Ben. Well, he was brilliant. Really, really good. That first kick, first goal club. There's been a couple of them of recent. There was one last night as well. But, you can't fault his effort. He looked really, really neat, real tidy.
He took a little bit to get into the game, but once he got into the game, this kid looks like he's got class written all over him.
I think we've got one there, boys. Yeah. I think we've really found Cripper's one. We've been waiting for
Cripper's
him.
Cripper's got big raps for him.
It's good to see him. So. Yeah. Anyway... We better get off there because time to go for a break and a few words from our sponsors. And when we return, we cross live to our General Manager of Football, Brad Lloyd. Go Blues.
They will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast of the Blues, hosted by WA Blues. Time now to cross live to our General Manager of Football, Brad Lloyd. Good morning, Brad, and welcome back to Breakfast with the Blues.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Brad, before I let the panel ask you a few questions, mate, very disappointing news during the week with Mitch McGovern being sidelined further with that reoccurrence of hamstring injury. Mate, do we expect to see him back playing again this year?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, look, it's really disappointing. Like, he was going so well. Almost being held back a fraction from playing. And, we sort of... He went down for a ground ball and turned and felt it and kicked and... in the same action, and really disappointed for Mitch and the club, but so he'll probably, be a 10 to 12 week injury, I'd say, so that'll still have him at the back end of the year, but we're rehabbing to get him back for the end of the season, but disappointing.
It was disappointing because, geez, he did show something in those first few rounds with those intercept marks, and the back line seemed to have a good cohesion even in those early few rounds, so he will be missed, but let's hope he has a speedy recovery and he comes back at the back half of the year.
Yeah, no, he's got everything you want in the back, and with his intercept marking and his footy smart and his ball use, and he reads the game so well, so like he showed a hell of a lot at that sort of third tall intercept marker, really valuable. So, we've really got something in Mitch, but we need to get him on the field.
Yep.
Brad, we made some major changes in the off-season with the board, new coaching staff. How, from a football perspective, have you seen these changes?
Yeah, there's a lot of change. There's been a lot of change sort of over the last few years in general, but you know, we see the senior coach change was a big one. And then we changed our whole assistant coaching panel. We actually had really good assistants previously, but you know, we decided to just refresh that coaching panel. So, and we brought in Aaron Hamill as our backs coach. Been sensational the way he goes about it, really enthusiastic. You know, he really wanted to get back to Carlton as well, so really good from Aaron's point of view. Tim Clark's been sensational with the mid. Yeah, the midfield's really operating well and put so much time and effort in. He was the club previously and went over to Gold Coast and come back into it. And then Ash Hansen, really experienced senior assistant coach who's been at the Bulldogs under Luke Beveridge, quality person. Played a fair bit of footy over in WA, so you guys would have seen him a number of years back. But, he's come in. And then we've got Aaron Greaves, who's been at a number of clubs, Port Adelaide in particular, and was recently with the umpires, but he's a real support role for Vossi. So done a fair bit with the assistant coaching panel, and then obviously the senior coaching appointment was a big one. You know, we worked through a pretty thorough process, and we just thought it was a really strong appointment for us to make. For now, like he's a sensational leader. He's a really good fit for what we're after at the moment. The way he goes about it, really good, builds good relationships with the playing group. He coaches the players really hard, and he settled in really well. So couldn't be happier with the way Vossi's going about it. So they're probably in the main changes from a coaching point of view. We made a number of other changes across the rest of the department. Obviously, we've had a change of CEO as well in Brian Cook, who's doing a great job and hit the ground running. So, yeah, there's been a fair bit of movement through the department.
Brad, you started your football admin career at Fremantle in the recruitment department before taking up the role of head of football at the Blues. Can you tell us some of the major differences working at the clubs, especially with the Blues having such a long history and Fremantle being such a young team?
Well, Freya, I started off working with Craig Kelly in player management. I worked as a player agent for 7 years, and that was a really good grounding. And then an opportunity came up to work in Freo's recruiting team, which I was there as sort of recruiter and then a list manager for 11 years. And like one thing, it's a great club, Freo. I love my time at Freo. I think there's something about those seaside towns. I've played my footy at Williamstown, but it's similar sort of feel to Freo. And great club, really building. Yeah, humble sort of a club for you, but with a really strong supporter base and just a workman-like culture. So, love my time at Freo. Absolute quality people. So they're my second team now behind Cub. And, but I guess there's similarities. I feel like the that underlying work ethic and I guess the blue-collar way that our players are going about it now at Carlton as well. So I guess that heritage is fairly similar, but you can feel it, Carlton being in Melbourne and just one of the big clubs, and the supporter base is just enormous. Like you just really feel it everywhere you go, and on game day it's just unbelievable with playing in the big games in Melbourne with Carlton Footy Club. So both look great clubs. I've enjoyed my time at both. The roles are very different in terms of list management. You're sort of in and out of the club a little bit, sort of looking at what's next from a player acquisition point of view and trying to retain the players you've got, whereas the head of footy role, you're sort of across all the different areas from recruiting to high performance coaching, the operations side and the cultural side. So very different roles, but love my time at Freo and probably got some regrets. Couldn't quite jag that flag back in 13, 14, 15. We made prelims and a grand final, but couldn't quite get a cup in the cupboard. But they're going really well this year.
Morning, Brad. Following on from that question, having spent time both at Carlton and Fremantle and seeing the positions that both of them are in now, how important is it to get the right people in the right roles, both on and off the field?
Oh, it's critical. Absolutely critical. Look, it takes, on average, it takes 6 to 8 years to build a premiership team, so it takes a long, long time. I guess my time back in Fremantle in 08, we started with early picks and by 13, we were in a grand final, and it's good to see Freo starting to make a move now. And it comes the same. You just need. I love the teams like Sydney and Geelong and Hawthorn. They do a lot of things right. and that's how I think I want Carlton to be. And I see Carlton moving in that direction in regards to just good quality people throughout, you know, good decisions at the list management table, you know, good people in the medical and high performance team looking after the players on their, you know, with their running and their durability. You know, you need really good coaches, you know, strong values and, you know, good leaders, which I think we've got here. And then you need a, from an operational point of view, you need to make good decisions and have a pretty slick operation behind the scenes so players can get on with what they're doing. And Brian Cook's come in. He's really strong on the values part of things. So he's really bringing that to the table as well. So having the right people across every area, you really, if you're going to be successful, you can't have any area lacking. So that's the key, and I think that's what the good clubs have done. And I look at Melbourne. You talk about 6 to 8 years to build a flag. Like they've taken a fair while to get to where they're at now. And, you know, all of a sudden people think it's an overnight success, but it takes some time. No different to Richmond with their dynasty they've had.
How big of a difference? Oh, sorry, excuse me. I've had a bit of a frog in the throat, mate. Sorry. How big of a difference has Vossie been to the team? There seems to be now like they're playing with real dynamic passion, excitement within the side. And it's certainly from a supporter's point of view, watching, it's been lacking probably for the last couple of years, that sort of passion they're playing with at the moment.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, he's been outstanding, really. Like, he's a real leader, and he just right from the first day he got in, you just knew he's a pretty extroverted sort of guy, that's sort of very good from a relationship point of view, spends a lot of time with every individual. I don't know how he finds the hours in the day, but right from the start, he was sort of spending time with players and, building that trust, which sort of, you know, flows into when you're sort of making demands of the players, you can sort of, in that trusting relationship, he's able to do that. So I think the list has been building for a while. Like, club went to three drafts back in sort of around 2015, and the playing group was we had young players and older players, so our average age looked about right, but we had players like, Eddie Betts and Cade Simpson and Murphy and these really, legend, champions of the club that were starting to get into their 30s, and as they've finished up, sort of we've probably got younger with, the guys coming through, but now like Harry and Wiedering and Charlie Curnow, and these guys are all sort of starting to hit their sort of 23, 24, 25 years of age. So we're quite a young group, but we're starting to mature in the time they've been around the place. So I think Vossie's coming at a really strong time. That leadership that he's brought, it's coming at a good time for those players starting to mature in their own footy. So, but look, he's been perfect for what the club needed. And he's doing a sensational job. I couldn't speak any more highly of him from what he's doing at work, but also just really good values, quality person. Yeah, couldn't question that.
I believe we will be taking a pick in the mid-season draft, Brad. Will we be looking at acquiring a ruckman or a backman in that period? And just to throw a little one in, I don't mind if you'd have to keep secrets, but is there any chance that Matthew Cruiser, is in the mix of conversation?
So we'll definitely be taking a pick in the draft. We're working through the list management side of the moment. With picking players, you have your list management needs in regards to, do we look at a ruckman? Do we look at a key back? Do we need another position on the field? So you look at that, then you look at what's available, because you've got to be careful. At this stage, you're looking at players that have been, I guess, overlooked in previous drafts, and then seeing, who's starting to come through. So you want to make sure at the end of the day you find someone that is good enough for AFL footy without sort of getting too warped with your order over needs. Now, we won't be going with Matthew Cruiser. He's doing a great job as a ruck coach. I know my mate Sardi Garzi at Greensboro is trying to convince him to have a run there. So I think Sardi's a Williamstown legend.
Yes, he is.
He's flat out trying to convince Cruz to have a run with Greensboro. So we won't be going with Cruz. He's a wonderful player, but I think he's very comfortable in retirement. From a key back point of view, look, hats off to our recruiting team. We actually went out of our way to bring in a key back, and that was Lewis Young through the off season. So that's sort of really paying dividends now with Liam Jones finishing up and Oscar McDonald being injured and McGovern being injured. So Lewis is playing that role. So look, another key back would be nice. It'd be good to bolster our midfield as well as we can, and another ruckman would be nice as well. So there's a fair bit of few spots we need to fill. But as I said at the start, we're going to be careful not to. We're going to make sure we get someone that can play AFL footy long term as well. So yeah, we're just working through that with our recruiting team at the moment. So I think in the end we won't get too specific, and we'll bring in someone we trust that might have a career with us.
Yeah, absolutely. And the VFL side has made some massive improvements this season. It must be pleasing to see some good depth finally on our list. And the performances to date have been really, really strong from our VFL side.
Yeah, they're going great. Well, and Daniel O'Keefe and Luke Power, who run that VFL team, and with Ash Nolte, who does the operations. And I think we're about 5-1, I think, at the moment, in terms of 5 wins, 1 loss. Yeah, they run a really good program for the players coming through, not just our listed players, but we're finding there's real alignment between the two sides. It's really involved from a game style point of view, and there's plenty of touch points with both programs. So it's really important. I still feel your Bulldogs VFL team, or you look back into even the mid 2000s where Geelong's VFL team was so strong with Bart Allen, Steve Johnson, these guys, and they came through into the seniors. So we think it's really important to have a strong program in the VFL, and we're starting to get some traction there after a couple of years with the side.
And we just touched on Cruiser, and obviously Simo's in the AFLW program. Eddie, we know, came back for a couple of years to help out with the small forwards, but how good has it been having those, and how important has it been having those people that have been around, been through like some pretty tough times at the club, but have also stuck around since retiring, and obviously feeding the knowledge and education that they need to the players coming through about, one, how to play AFL football, but what it means to also play for the Carlton Football Club.
Like, we've probably got a balance. Like, we've got some of the assistant coaches coming in and some other staff, really good quality people, where you're bringing people in from elsewhere with huge IP from other clubs that are bringing in new ideas or ideas that may not have been in the club. And then we've also been able to get some players that have as you said, that have been with us to carry on. So, like, Simo's been unbelievable. Like, he's involved in AFLW and does a bit with Carlton College, and he helps out wherever he can with the men's program if we ever need to call on him. So he's been unbelievable. So and there's I know Murph does a few bits and pieces from a commercial point of view, Cruz with the ruck coaching. So it's been great, and Shane O'Sullivan does a great job with running the Spirit of Carlton. So we've always got we've got different mentor groups, so we've got some past players involved in that. And I know Jimmy Buckley presented Jack Carroll with his debut jumper on the weekend just gone. So we're just trying. It was hard with COVID, just trying to have those. With all sort of workplaces being shut down, but that's starting to open up a bit now, where we're able to sort of get a bit more engagement with past players, and it's been really good. So really good culturally to make sure we keep get that inclusion. It's good, and it's good for the current playing group. Players like Patrick Cripps love it. They love seeing Simo and these types around the club. So it's really good. Really important.
I know we all agree that one player does not make a team, but it must be great having a fit and healthy Cripper running around the middle, because he rotates from the middle and he seems to be a real danger up forward now, which is quite good as well.
Yeah, you're spot on. Like the way he started the season, he's just a beast, isn't he? And the way he's moving, as good as I've seen. And I saw him do a 2K in the off season, and I think it was when he wasn't even supposed to be back training, and he just was moving so well. So he's obviously went back to WA and trained hard and looked after himself. But all that hard work starting to pay dividends now. So that little bit of a niggle where he missed a week, but aside from that, he's looking so good. And I think Chera and Hewitt coming in.
Correct,
right with Matt Kennedy has been really helpful for him as well, and Sam Walsh maturing as a player. So I think it's good balance there, and he can go in and do the heavy lifting, and he can also sort of then sit out at times and wait for the ball to spill out and keep some balance. So he's great captain, outstanding captain, and he's having an outstanding season.
that he is, mate. Mate, last question. Mate, over 80,000 members to date, and the AFL just releasing that Carlton have averaged the highest attendances at games so far this year. Must be another pleasing aspect for the club.
Oh, yeah, that's so important. You just feel the size of the club and, you know, Carlton supporters. I think it's been probably a rough 20 years for the club, or more in 25 years since, you know, the last flag in the mid-90s, but just unbelievable, the supporters and the loyalty. And you can only imagine if we can get things moving and start winning more games of footy and, you know, playing finals and those sorts of things, what those numbers could look like. So, it's a huge effort from Carlton supporters, and also, we've got a really strong membership team as well internally at the club that sort of engage pretty well with their members from what I can see. So, the support, it's a pretty powerful club in terms of the numbers of supporters. So, fantastic.
Yeah, well, you've always got a massive amount of supporters and members over here in WA. And, mate, once again, thank you very much on behalf of the entire WA Blues community for sharing some of your precious time today. And as always, mate, go Blues.
Yeah, go Blues. All right. Thanks, guys. Yeah, appreciate the chat.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
Thanks, Brad. Thanks, Brad.
Brad Lloyd, everyone.
Very good.
Very good. We could have kept going, but we've got to go for a break. And when we return... Yep, sorry, buddy?
Some good insight, that.
Very good. So good insight that we're not going after Matthew Cruiser.
I had to ask it.
Yeah.
There's been rumours.
Was it a smoke screen, though?
Rumours were floating around everywhere.
Oh, of course they were. Anyway, we better go for a break. And when we return, it's our great mate here on Breakfast with the Blues, the hyphen, David Rhys-Jones. Go Blues.
And they will know that they've been playing against the fame.
Welcome back. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by the WA Blues. It's time now to give a warm welcome to our great mate here on Breakfast with the Blues, 1987 Norm Smith medalist, premiership hero. I speak of no other than David Rhys-Jones. Good morning, David, and how are we this morning?
Yeah, you know, very good, very good. I'm on my way to another local footy club to have a bit of a chat with him today. So, got a looking forward to it today, and obviously I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Big game against Adelaide.
Yeah, we need to turn up for that one, mate. Look, just quickly, the game against North last weekend, the rubbish that's come in the media, especially from our mate Kane Corns and David King too, about Jack Silvani telling the Horn Francis what he thought of the North Melbourne Football Club. Isn't this a bit of rubbish that's gone on in the media, especially from Kane Corns?
I posted something on Facebook last night. I said, Jason... Horn Francis, Jack Silvani was right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So that's about how I think about it. No. And look, banter happens out in the football field and people, you know, as long as it's not offensive and, I'm sure that young fella is, he's not a bad player. He's a pretty tough character too, he seems like. So I'm sure he took it with a grain of salt and some of those bloody... They're getting more woke by the day, aren't they, these AFL people and commentators and a whole lot. So, bug on.
Yeah.
David, just a little bit left field at the minute, but some great news coming out of the club this week that we're finally going to see Caleb Marchbank play a game in the VFL. We're just talking about it before, how we can get him up and fit and running, how vital a link he's going to be down back for us.
Oh, definite. You know, he's going to bolster our back line enormously. And, he's a quality player. It's just, you know, been unfortunate that the injuries have interrupted his career at Carlton. He was one of the players. I know we got a lot of players from GWS at a certain stage there, but he was one player that GWS really didn't want to get rid of. And they were spewing that they lost him. But hopefully he can get anywhere, you know, somewhere near... he's a number six draft pick, I think, so very high draft pick and got a lot of ability and will, you know, definitely bolster that back line and could be just what we need coming into finals.
Yes, agree. Totally agree.
Morning, Hyfe. It was a pretty impressive...
Can I say the F word? I can, can't I?
Yeah, you can, mate. You can. You're allowed to. Yes. Yes.
Morning, Hyfe. Carroll was pretty impressive on debut. Looked a solid player, got involved, and it was nice to see him also push in and play a few midfield minutes as well on debut.
I think I've spoken about him a couple of times and hoping he'd get a run and he was one of those guys who in the draft, he slipped right down. I think he went to about 41 and he was expected to be a first round pick. So, yeah, he was a steal in the draft for us. And, Shane O'Sullivan actually said to me early last year, keep your eye on this kid. He's a beautiful left foot kick and he's got something special. So, I think we all saw that on last week and, guaranteed it was against, probably the worst team in the competition, but that'll give him confidence going ahead. And I like the way he uses the ball. He's a beautiful left foot kick and hits targets, and that's what we seem to lack a few of around the place at the vital times.
One thing that was really impressive last week, I thought, was the form and the running carry of Adam Saad. Yep. He was just... Look so
yeah, he,
quick.
Yeah, I think he gets underrated a lot, and his closing speed on his opponent too. Quite often he'll stand 5 metres away from his opponent, but he reads it pretty well, and his closing speed to be able to get a fist on the ball if it is kicked to his opponent is also his defensive skills are very good as well. But it's probably good to see Zach. It's a shame that Stocker got hurt last week and obviously copped the week too, but from the tribunal. But, Zach Williams is another one who can add that run off the halfback line and really be creative and dangerous. So, I think we've only had the one change this week, and I think that shows that Vossie's starting to get more settled with how he sees a team and what he sees as our best 22 out there. So, yeah, it's looking promising at the moment.
Mate, I've got to ask you this question. I think I already know the answer, but let's go back to that game against North. Lewis Young.
I knew you were going to bring
Lewis
this
Young,
up.
Charged with forceful front-on contact. I'm so glad that got thrown out.
Yeah, look, I'm glad it got thrown out, but I'm really disappointed that it even got to that stage, because once they take that step, and they've taken it now, they're trying to get the bump out of the game, and it's it really is going to cause it's going to cause some injuries too, because players are going to be hesitant going in. They're not going to be sure what to do, it's not the nature of our game. Yeah. The bump's always been part of it. Fair enough, they've taken out the head stuff if anything gets hit in the head, but when you say it's forceful, a bump, and you hit a bloke on the side. You know what I mean? They all got up and played. They're just getting a bit too carried away with all this rubbish and tinkering with the rules and that. Why would you want to be an umpire these days when, they keep changing the rules? And the rules, the umpires are the ones copping the blame for the decisions they're given that the AFL are instructing them to give.
Yeah, 100%. Totally agree with
that. Well, it was quite funny because one of the tribunal members, or it might have been someone from the AFL actually in that appeal, said that Lewis Young could have avoided it by stepping away.
Did.
Now, if you step away, bang, you get dragged, you get labelled a chicken.
Well, that's it. And if you do step away and you do a knee or something, you've had to deviate course or whatever, there's your career gone or something. I mean, fair dinkum, it's a man's sport and it's got to stay that way.
Exactly, yeah. You don't want it getting to the point where you got the ball in the middle and no one wanting to go for the ball and contesting it, because then it's just going to
happen. Or even just second thinking, You should eyes on the ball and attack it as hard as you can. That's what we're taught when we're, little kids.
Yeah. We don't want to ruin the fabric of the game.
No.
And that's part of it, that hard contested ball. And look, Lewis Young, we just spoke to Brad Lloyd. He's been a fantastic addition into that back line. I think he had 5 or 6 intercept marks. He looks really solid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was. And he's slowly gaining confidence, I think. His first couple of games, he looked a little shaky back there. And, I had that claim on Tex Walker this week and give him that challenge, which will allow Wietering to, to sort of float around and take those intercept marks. But if we can have a player who can take those big forwards that really have given us a lot of trouble over the time, then you know, he's going to solve a huge solution for us.
One thing that's for us that I've noticed over the last couple of weeks, that Charlie and Harry are finally starting to get in sync together, and they're starting to look very dangerous, I think, personally. But I could be a bit one-eyed, but I reckon they're starting to look all right.
No, they are looking dangerous.
Yeah, look, they are, and it's going to take time. You know, they're both quality players, and even, you know, all these new players coming into the team, you know, it's not till you've played probably 20, 30 games alongside guys that you really know them inside out, you know, their little idiosyncrasies, whether they, you know, how they move, where they, what their strengths are and their weaknesses, and then you know, that team stuff really just becomes second nature. You just you know what he's thinking, you know what he's going to do, and you move accordingly. So yeah, look, and that's, you know, right across the board. I think, you know, this year's going to be a really good year for us, but. But, you know, the next couple of years, I think, is when we're really going to shine. And we've just got to look at this year as a real year of growth. Hopefully, we play finals and do well in finals. But you know, it's once they've really got that 30, 40 games, you know, playing alongside each other that they're going to be, you know, very, very hard to beat.
And heading into tomorrow's game against Adelaide, I think every one of our midfielders, bar Sarah at the moment, has probably had that really standout game. I think tomorrow for him, he can have a massive game, you know, 30, 32 possessions, something like that, and hit the, actually impact the scoreboard, like 2-3 goals. I can see a big game from him because he's been consistent, but he hasn't had that massive game yet.
Oh, we lost you, Dave.
They've looked. They're the ones, you know, with Chera and Hewitt and those guys going in there. They're the ones who look like they've been playing together for, you know, probably a couple of years at least, sort of thing. They've really just come straight in and been able to give us something. You know, we haven't had any. Our clearances out of the midfield has just been. It takes us to another level. It really does make it hard. You know, an opposition team kicks a goal, we go back to that 6-6-6 and we get the ball out of the middle and we're in our forward line. You know, it can be deflating for opposition teams.
Just looking again at tomorrow's game, an area of concern for me is the ruck. Having Ducone go up against their big guy, well, I can't remember his name. What's his name? Their ruckman? Whatever it is. But O'Reilly? Yeah.
O'Brien?
He seems like around the ground is where De Koenig's getting just pushed off the ball too easy. But in the centre, he can use his, like, he's very athletic. But, you know, for me, the ruck's just a little bit iffy for us at the moment, missing Pitanet.
Yeah, it definitely is, you know, and you know, the ruckman take time. You know, Pitnet's taken, you know, he's been in the system quite a few years now and he's just starting to really come good in himself. But and young De Koenig, he's just gotta compete, you know, and that's all they need to tell him. You know, you don't have to win every hit out or you just gotta compete and put the other ruckman under pressure. And yeah, you know, we're probably light on in that department at the moment. And it's funny, there's a bit in the paper today talking about Carlton looking at Goldstein for next year, sort of thing, and you know, bringing in someone a bit more experienced to you know, for that backup. But you know, that's one part of the ground where we're probably going to fall down a little bit. But hopefully, it doesn't hurt us too much. It did against Gold Coast. You know, that was a real catalyst to them winning and being able to get their wits. Got his hand on the ball first and give them first service of the ball.
Just funny, you talked about Goldstein as being that backup ruckman. Would you go after him and say, come across?
I wouldn't be paying too much for him, but yeah, if he's available and he wants to come, you know, see out his days, you really do need that backup there. And plus, he could help fast track a few of our other, you know, younger ruckmen, sort of thing. I know Matty Cruz is down there doing a good job at the moment with them, but you know, he could get out there and really assist them with their ruck skills and ruck work as well.
Definitely our saying I want to see tomorrow as well against the Crows is let's start turning the ball over in our forward 50, like when they're trying to leave our forward 50 and get the ball moving forward. I'd just like to see us get a few more repeat entries instead of trying to turn the ball over in our defensive half and then work the ball up the ground. I think it'll be a really good opportunity to like put some manic pressure on and create repeat entries and try to kick a real big score.
I love it when we move the ball quick because, you know, we've got the tall timber down there in McKay and Curno doing a great job down there. And we've got some good smalls there too that you know, that in and out and kicking goals and putting a lot of pressure on as well. So I like it when we, you know, I hate it when we go slow. We just look like shocking. We're going to make a mistake. We just look like something's going to go wrong and normally it does. So, yeah, hopefully then when you call it that manic sort of style, that's, you know, that's how Richmond did it for, you know, their successful period there and just get the ball into the forward line whichever way, you know, you can and let the good players, you know, play one-on-one. That's all they want. You know, the slower the play, the ruckman's able to get back and assist and, they're able to flood back as well for other players.
Mate, let's just hope we get out there tomorrow, we turn up and we have a big win and it's not one of those close nail-biters again. And, we just need some percentage. I know Adelaide's been playing well, but this is a game, another one where we should win and win quite comfortably.
10 goals plus.
Anyway, mate, so which club are you off to this morning or lunchtime?
Scoresby. My old mate Dean Gregg, my sparrow partner on Facebook, Dean Gregg. So he's local footy club, so heading out there and it should be a bit of fun.
All right, well, best of luck and mate, have a good day and let's hope we turn up and let's hope we have a good win and as always, mate, go Blues.
Go Blues.
That's it, go the mighty Blues.
Go Blues. Right.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Reece.
Thanks, guys.
He's a legend. There you go.
The legend himself, David Rhys Jones.
It's always good to touch on things like the Lewis Young bump and Jason.
Oh, I had to bring that up with David.
Black and white, bang,
he says it
down
how he sees it, which is the best part about it.
Anyway, we haven't got long to go, but our next function for the WA Blues is down at the Carlisle Hotel and Distillery. It'll be the Collingwood game on Sunday, the 29th of May. It'll be a 1:20 start for us here over in Perth against our arch rivals Collingwood. Get down there. As we know, they look after us. A treat down at the Carlisle, and especially Jesse when he's down there with his hot roast beef rolls. Get down there for they look up. It's great. Look, we had a good turnout last Saturday night. We knew we weren't going to get a massive turnout, but we had a great turnout down there. Before we wrap up, one thing I haven't said, guys, is to all the mothers out there tomorrow, Happy Mother's Day. Especially to my mother in Melbourne, Happy Mother's Day, Mum. And Jess?
Yes, Happy Mother's Day to my mum as well.
To my mum in Warrnambool,
Happy birthday. Well done, Craig.
Sorry, happy Mother's Day to my mum back in Warrnambool.
Well done, Craig. You've done well.
I thought I'd make one mistake today.
Anyway. We're nearly going to go. So he's made lots of mistakes today. As always, happy birthday to his mother for Mother's Day. So to my wife, Happy Mother's Day. To your partner, Happy Mother's Day. And to all mothers, Happy Mother's Day. Anyway, thanks again, guys. Another great show, as always. As always, thanks to our great mate, David Rhys Jones. Comes on the show every Saturday for us.
He's
mate.
Awesome,
gives
isn't
up
he?
His time. Says it how it is. He's just fantastic.
Yep.
Our special guest, GM of football, Brad Lloyd. I thought he was brilliant.
Really very well.
We had to cut him off. I just wanted one more question to ask him, but I couldn't. I wanted to ask him about who the hell puts our injuries up. I mean, why can't you just be honest? But we had to. There was a couple of questions we couldn't get to. So
makes it hard.
Next time we'll get him. We've got to ask that question because I just.
It'll be great to have on again. Definitely.
Yeah, we'll get trying to. Anyway, keep listening to 91.3 Sport FM, and as always, go Blues.
Go Blues.
Go the Blues.
Against the famous old dark blue.